Good evening, brethren. It's good to have you again in this worship service. This evening, we want to turn attention to Revelation chapter 21 and verse 27. Revelation 21 and verse 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever walketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. We want to spend the next few minutes talking about the Lamb's book of life. This morning, those of you who are here, we made the remark that Esau presented us with a case of a sad story. Somebody that was found weeping bitterly after having sold his birthright. But this evening, we want to turn the table around and consider one of the most interesting and comforting words in the Bible, the Lamb's Book of Life. Here, we have an allusion to the practice in the old time of having the names of citizens of a country written in a book. If you pick up your New Testament in the book of Acts, you will remember in one of the cases where you have Paul defending himself in Acts chapter 21. Paul was proud about his Roman citizenship. Here in chapter 21 of the book of Acts, he was telling the people he was a man of the city of Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city. What this means is that Tarsus was a Roman colony. And just so, you have the city of Philippi. In the book of Philippians chapter 3 from verse 20, Paul was talking about our citizenship being in heaven. And this means, as Christians, we are citizens of two kingdoms. In our nature, we have our body from the dust and our spirit from God. And in the nature of governments of this world, you are a citizen of a country. But as Christians, we have our real citizenship. It's only our bodies that belong to Nigeria or America. But we all have the same spiritual father, and our home, our country, is in heaven. So, what we are reading in the book of Revelation has to do with the practice of enrolling the names of citizens of a country in a book. And unless you do a dishonorable thing, your name is permanently there. But when you do a dishonorable thing, the name is removed. So it is interesting that this is what we have as our inheritance as Christians. In this book that we have chosen as our text, we read that there is such a book. It's a reality. It's not only here. In Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8, we read that those who make war with the saints are those who do not have their names in the book. And Daniel, and it's interesting, Brother Kevin was treating us to a good discussion of Daniel. In chapter 12 and verse 1, we read that the book of life is a reality. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3, Paul speaks of those who were his fellow laborers as people who have their names written in the book. So, from all these passages, we establish the fact that we have such a book. That's not only the point, because this is Lamb's Book of Life, we can be sure it is an accurate book. The Lord knows his own. In John chapter 13 and verse 1, we read here, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of the world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." Way back in chapter 2, he not only loved his own, he knows them. John chapter 2, we read, take it from verse 21. It says here, John 2, okay, we jump to verse 24. "But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man." And again, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 19, we read that the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Let everyone that nameth the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Because this is Lamb's Book of Life, and because the Lord knows his own, we can be sure this is an accurate book. I know of many congregations in Nigeria that have a register of their members. Well, because this is a register kept by man, it may not be perfect. It may not be accurate, but not so with the Lamb's Book of Life. In the Bible, we read of some men that are not what they should be. And one of these is Diotrephes, you know. He was putting himself up as a big man in the church. You read that in the book of 3 John, verses 9 and 10. Here was Diotrephes, a big man who assumed leadership. Rightly or wrongly, we do not know. But we saw an attitude within. He would not have anything to do with the Apostle John. And whoever wanted to have any dealing with the Apostle, he would throw them out of the church. Imagine if this book we are talking about is kept with such a man, a proud man, who will always want to have his way. What will he do with the name of Apostle John? Definitely he will reach out for an eraser to strike out the name of Apostle John, because John will not be in his good books. And what about his friends, his cronies, who are ungodly, who are not living according to the will of God? You can't be sure that such a man like Diotrephes will keep the name in the book. But the book of life we are talking about is not kept with such a man who will put out people, God's own people, from the church and put the names of ungodly men there. This is a book that God of heaven and his son keep. And so we can be talking about an accurate book, a perfect book. And furthermore, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, we read that the Lord asked to the church daily such as should be saved. So he has the names of his own there, and he is not going to add the name of a sinner. He is not going to add the name of a proud man or any ungodly man. So it's an accurate book. But we go further. That's not the only thing. We've seen the reality of the book, that this is a perfect, accurate book. But we need to recognize the fact also that one's name could be erased from the book. And this we learn from God himself and his servant, as in Exodus chapter 32. Moses knew that God has such book. And when the children of Israel sinned, as a good leader that he was, Moses was pleading for the children of Israel that God might forgive their sin, and that if not, then God should remove his name from the book that he has written. And the other person we saw along with Moses in this encounter, who was pleading that his name be removed, is Apostle John in Romans chapter 9. He so much loved his people that he would have wished that his name be taken out if God would not save the Jews. So here we see Moses in Exodus chapter 32. It says here from verse 31, Moses returned unto the Lord and said, "Oh, these people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now," verse 32, "if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book." Here we see the point. Moses recognized the fact or the possibility of having one's name removed from the book. And God also acquiesced to this fact by saying, "I'm not going to remove your name, but whoever has sinned against me, him will I remove his name from the book that I have written." In my country, especially in my tribe, we have a saying that the white man that manufactures the pencil also puts along with it eraser. That means you can write something and wipe it away. So let us get this fact clear. This last book of life, you can have your name written in it, and you can have it removed by your conduct. And this much we are told plainly in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, where it comes with the warning, "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." Never mind the false teachers who are preaching the impossibility of apostasy, which forms one of the basic tenets of Calvinism. Once saved, forever saved. You never get that in the scriptures. And here, anyone who thinks that he stands should take heed, otherwise he falls. And that shows that it is possible for a child of God who has had his name written in the book of life of the Lamb, have the name removed. Before we go on, let's see, who are the people or that we have their names, or that have their names written in the book of life, so that we do not make any mistake and subject this to our own opinions. The Bible tells us plainly, those who have their names written in the book of life. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 23, the Hebrew writer, we believe that's Paul, writes something about those who have their names written in the book. Verse 23, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. He's telling us we have come not to Mount Sinai, but to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. And here, in one passage of scripture, we read of those who have their names written in the book. They are members of the church of the firstborn. And this should not come to us as a surprise. Jesus, the Savior, came down to save his own. Of course, he died for all. But who are those that will be beneficiaries of the shed blood that he made on Calvary? Only those who obey him. Hebrews 5, 8 and 9 tells us, even though you were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all those who obey him. And the church is that body of the saved. Christ is the head of the body. And we just heard it a little while ago about Acts 2, verse 47, where God has those who are saved unto the church. And so here, if you are a member of the church, if you have obeyed the gospel from your heart, and you have repented of your sins, and you have confessed the name of Christ, and you are baptized, you can be sure that God of heaven has your name written in the book. But is it, once we have our names written in the book, does that assure us that the name will be permanently there? We just think that it is not so. The name can be removed after having been written. Then what must we do to have our names permanently written in the book and not have it removed? We have a job here, and that means we must be zealous. In Titus, the second chapter, from verse 11, Titus chapter 2, beginning in verse 11, it says here, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. If you want to be among the special possession of God, you've got to be zealous. What does this mean? It means to be constant in the service of our Lord. In Nigeria, we do not enjoy uninterrupted electricity as you do. And so we use this as an illustration of what it means to be zealous. Because electricity there is on and off. It comes now, and the next minute is gone. We have more darkness than light. So, if you are in Nigeria, you will have no trouble understanding what constancy means. Because that's what you enjoy. And I pray you do not take this blessing for granted. There are countries in the world that they do not enjoy what you are enjoying as far as constant electricity is concerned. But the point we are making is how to be zealous. A zealous man who is zealous in serving the Lord is constantly there. He is there in the morning. He is there in the evening. He is there on Wednesday. And any good work, I've seen on your notice board that a gospel meeting is coming up in April. A zealous man will put that down in his diary and make sure nothing comes in between him and attending this gospel meeting. So that's what it means to be zealous. What must we do in order to make sure that our names are not removed from this book? In Hebrews chapter 12, we take it from verse 12. Hebrews 12, verse 12. It says, wherefore, lift up the hands which are down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. What are we reading here? Excuse me. In order to make sure that our names are not removed from the Lamb's Book of Life, I put it the other way. You must refuse to be discouraged. There are discouraging things all around. Jobs may not go the way you expect it to be. Children may not turn out the way you plan for them. Life may turn the other way around. Or whatever be your lot, just look straight. Just continue and refuse to be discouraged by anything. And earlier on in this same book of chapter 12 of Hebrews, we see another thing that we must do. Wherefore, I take it from verse 1, Hebrews 12, verse 1. Wherefore, since we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let us look unto Jesus. Look unto Jesus. We have a good illustration in Apostle Peter. In Matthew chapter 14, you know, Jesus was walking on water, and the disciples were afraid, thinking he was a ghost. And Peter, along with the other disciples, were so afraid, and the crowd. And Jesus said, no, it's not a ghost or spirit. It is me, or it is I. Then Peter, always the first to speak out, said, Lord, if you are the one, command that I come along with you. And Bible tells us, that moment, Peter set out and he was walking on water. Peter was doing the unthinkable. Peter was doing that which from human standpoint of view was not possible. But he was doing it walking on water. But we read that when Peter removed his eyes from Christ and considered the boisterous waters, he began to sink. That's the lesson we need to take. If you look in the world, you may lose your focus. But as you focus on the Lord, then you are going to walk on waters. Most of us know something about photography. You pick your camera by itself, without focus, will just shoot anything. But you want to get a man, John, to focus in. Focusing John, you don't look to the right or to the left. If we want our names to remain in the book of life, this is what we must do. We must look unto Jesus. Don't look right, don't look left. Don't look on others, what they are doing or what they are not doing. At times, we make the mistake of forgetting what the Lord has commanded us and think of what our wives, our husbands, our employer, our employee, or whatever the relationship might be, we consider this. Or we get a lesson from our Lord Jesus. In John chapter 21, he told Peter, feed my sheep. Second time, he repeated it. You love me? Jesus was using a greater degree of love, you know. Greek is not English. In Greek, there are degrees, various words that are used for love, but in our English Bible, all of them are translated love. So Jesus was using the greater degree of love, and Peter was answering with the lesser degree. But anyway, Jesus told him the third time, feed my sheep. The Bible tells us, after Jesus told him this, Peter saw the disciple that Jesus loved. I'm referring to John chapter 21. And that disciple that Jesus loved was John's own way of referring to himself. Here we read, Peter turned to the disciple that Jesus loved. Okay? That's what we are taking, verse 17. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Now we turn to verse 21 now. Verse 20. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayed thee? Peter seeing him said to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Jesus said unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. This is a great blessing here. We pray our marital partners will be what they ought to be. We pray that our children will turn out good. We pray that everything will continue to be fine with us. But what if your wife, if your husband does not measure up to the standard? If your wife or your husband disappoints you, if your children do not turn out the best way you plan for them, would that mean that you will not discharge your own responsibility? No. In order to have our names continually written in the book, we have to take that lesson. What is that today? God has commanded you to love your wife, and that you must do under all circumstances. God has commanded that you give a 7-hour pay for 7-hour job. What if your employer is not the best man that he's supposed to be? Does that mean that you turn to stealing or purloining or being lazy on the job? God has told you, be faithful to your employer. As you serve him, you are serving Christ. Be faithful to your wife. Be faithful to your husband. In spite of whatever, and you must continue doing this in order for you to have your name not removed in the book of life. So this evening, we have seen one of the comforting statements in the Bible. In spite of our condition, in spite of whatever life dishes out to us, as long as we are Christians, we have our names written in the book of life. I thank you for being American. I thank God for you being American citizens. And of course, you know, you are not Americans because you choose to. I thank God that I'm a Nigerian, and there is a big difference between life in Nigeria and America. But be that as it may, the joy is we all share a hope in heaven. We all have our names, as long as we are faithful, in the Lamb's book of life. It's a reality. As long as we have believed and obeyed the Lord, we have our names there. But always keep at the back of our minds the possibility of having our names removed. And we have seen areas, points that will ensure that our names will be retained in the book. Let us be zealous. Don't let us be discouraged over anything. Let's continue to look up to Jesus and forget what others are doing or are not doing. This evening, if you are not a Christian, your name is not yet in the book. But you can come to Christ now. In spite of your situation, in spite of your condition, in spite of all the sins you might have committed, Jesus is now waiting to receive you. And if you, my brother, who has had his name written in the book, has done anything ungodly, anything sinful, that as you have seen this evening, we may God to remove your name, you can repent of it. We are serving a loving God. We are serving a merciful God, who is waiting for you at this time. If only you will come and confess before the people of God as we sing the invitation song.
Oh, do not let the word depart.